the risen Lord. That's what this deals with here. Freed from something, but linked to something. Now, what I'd like to show you, as we've been doing, is an Old Testament picture of this. Last night, we looked at an Old Testament picture of loyalty to God over relationships. We then looked at an Old Testament picture this morning of the emphasis of lordship over liberty in Deuteronomy chapter 12. Now, on this subject of being freed, I'd like to show you another Old Testament picture of why God has freed his people. So I'd like you to go to Exodus chapter 5, please. Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5, the story here with the children of Israel. And they're slaves. They're in bondage. They couldn't serve God if they wanted to. For Pharaoh told them what to do in the morning. Pharaoh told them what to do at noon. He told them what to do in the evening. And they finally had to make bricks without straw. Their whole life from sunup to sundown was controlled by Pharaoh under the penalty of death. So they had no liberty to obey God if they wanted to. So along, God hears the cry of his people, comes to deliver them, and look, if you will, at Exodus chapter 5 and verse 1. Verse 1. It says, "And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go.'" Let me just stop there. Let my people go, God says. Free them, unshackle them, let them go to the wilderness and then to the promised land. Let my people go. But I want to tell you, the message never stops there. Sometimes we think it does. God has freed us. He's freed us from the law. He's freed us from this. He's freed us from that. So I'm free to do what I want. Absolutely not, we've seen. Let my people let my people go. Look what it says next. That they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. God never envisioned the Israelites running out there in the wilderness and building little shrines and playing around. He never envisioned that. They tried that. But he never envisioned that. He let them go so they can be unto me, so they can be worshipers of me. Freedom from bondage, so they will be free as my people. You'll see it again in chapter 8. Look at Exodus chapter 8, if you will. Chapter 8 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me." So the Old Testament picture is, yes, they will be free, but free to serve God. You'll see it again in chapter 8 and verse 20, as if God didn't want them to miss this. Chapter 8 and verse 20 of Exodus. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me." And again, it's repeated in chapter 9 and verse 1. Chapter 9 of Exodus and verse 1. "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me." And then at the end of verse 13 of chapter 9, the end of verse 13 of chapter 9, "Let my people go, that they may serve me." And then at the end of verse 3 of chapter 10, I think God is repeating this. Chapter 10 and verse 3, the end of verse 3, "Let my people go, that they may serve me." And so the whole point of the Exodus was so they could be released from one power, so to be under God. And when they got to Mount Sinai, just in the third month, God gave them the Old Testament of law so they could obey him. Saved to be free to serve God. And that is Christian liberty. God has delivered us from things that hold us back, the law and the outward ritual that don't capture our heart. It's a wonderful thing to be free from that. But he has not freed you so you have liberty to do what you want. You are under the lordship of Jesus Christ. A people that are to obey him in a world that doesn't. And so where that is expressed, at least in corporate way, is the New Testament assembly. In a world that denies the risen Lord, God looks at a New Testament assembly. Here's a group of people going by his order. Unto him, his different roles for the sexes, his morality, and what that must do for the heart of God. So may God help you and I see this morning the character of the church. It is not meant to be built around liberty, though liberty exists. It is meant to be built around the lordship of Christ. Liberty is the new thought pattern. The lordship of Christ is the old paths. And so is there any here that need to ask for the old paths? Where is the good way that we will walk therein, and ye shall find rest unto your souls? I want to tell you, it takes a lot of pressure off when you realize that you don't have to run the church. Just submit, and God will take care of it. I want to tell you, you can find rest unto your souls. Well, those are some of the new thought patterns that we're dealing with this morning of liberty in contrast to the old way of lordship and some of the things that accompany it. Now, before we bring this first session to a close, we do want to open it up for a few minutes. Maybe some of the brothers of the assembly have some comments, some things they'd like to amplify, or perhaps a question or two of something they didn't understand. It's now open. Who's the devil? Right here. Okay, my goodness.
What I'm hearing is serve the Lord. In a denominational church with the praise and worship band and the drama team, et cetera, they think they're serving the Lord. And I just would like to comment.
In our afternoon session, we want to get into this thing of worship. Our brother has brought out, and I believe it's a good observation, where we see things that are we can't exactly find examples for in Scripture, and they have these worship teams and the dramas and whatever else they might choose to do. Many of them are sincerely doing it unto the Lord. They're serving the Lord. They're not doing it for Satan. They're doing it for the Lord. And he would like to hear my comments on that. We come to the subject of ignorance then. The people do things, but they do it without knowing the full truth. I'll have to leave that with God, how he handles that. But we know that God has revealed his truth. It comes down to the lordship of Christ. Am I willing to see what the Lord Jesus says? You know, I think it was the Lord Jesus that told Peter, when Peter was worried about how John would die after the Lord told him how he would die, he said, "What is that to thee? Follow thou me." All right. Never mind what the grace of God allows his people to do. If I'm a servant of the Lord, if I'm a bondslave to him, I'm not to look around and say, "Well, what do they do?" I want to say, "What do you want me to do?" And what it comes down to is the lordship of Christ. Yes, I preach it, but not everybody sees it. But if we have that light, it's a serious thing to drop the lordship of Christ to imitate how they do it to get results. If they're ignorant, I'll leave their motives with the Lord. I'm not going to work against them as an enemy, brother. But what it comes down to, and Brother Jerry and I were talking at the table last night, every really issue in the Word of God will come back to the lordship of Jesus Christ and his authority. And so while they might be doing things with good motives, does good motives make it right? Do results make it right? It is the authority of God that makes it right. I'll remind you of an example. It's in Numbers chapter 21 or 20, when Moses, you know, was told to get water out of the rock for the complaining Israelites. And he was simply told by the authority of God to speak to the rock. In his frustration and anger, and he was very sincere, he was upset with the people, he struck the rock twice. And the Bible says, though he disobeyed God, water came out of the rock. And the people drank, and so did the beast. There were results. Water came out. God turns around and says to Moses, "You didn't sanctify me. You did not set me apart as God, as all-knowing. My authority, you're not going to get into the promised land." That was a disciplinary judgment for Moses. So I submit, brother, that results and sincerity are not the bottom line. We'll leave their judgment with the Lord. What is the bottom line is that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And when we acknowledge that, it's a serious thing to let them go to copy somebody else. Maybe others want to add to that, brother, but that's the way I would answer. It's not how sincere they are, it's what saith the Lord. I can show you example after example in the Old Testament of sincerity of people that God did not accept what they did. That's right. Don't look around at the other nations, he said. We can look around and say, "Well, that works." Now, if God in his grace allows it, God allows it. But what does he tell me to do? What does the risen Christ want me to do? He's looking for a people. And I know a verse that really encourages me is in Revelation 3. Two of the seven churches that he did not rebuke, you know, the church in Philadelphia? Well, why didn't he rebuke them? He says, "Thou hast kept my word and not denied my name." It means something to keep his word. It means something to the Lord. He says, "Someday those of the synagogue of Satan will have to come before your feet and confess that I have loved you." We're told today that, well, we're not loved, we're dividing, we're not for unity, we don't tolerate. We're given all kinds of names. Keeping his word Someday there are those who will have to confess, not worship us, but before us, that God has loved us, keeping his word. So it's answers like that comes back to the authority of who Christ is and what he says. Anybody else? Yes, brother, Mark. I understood the question right, Mark. When it comes to what some will term secondary or non-essentials, I want to deal with that too. For the sake of unity, we give in. Is that looked at as compromise? Or is that liberty to do it different? I basically have that question done?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. First of all, we want to deal with this thing of non-essentials or secondary issues. In all honesty, I think I know what people mean on that. The Lord Jesus, remember when he spoke to the Pharisees, they neglected mercy and things like that, and they tithed cumin and anise and things like that. And what he said to them, these things you ought to have done, but not neglected the weightier matters of the law. There are things that are more weightier, they have a bigger impact, such as the blood of Christ, to deny that, or the person of Christ. That has disastrous impact to deny that. Those are weightier matters. But having said that, he was not criticizing them for tithing the anise and the cumin. You ought to have done it. But the sin was not that they were doing the little things. They were doing the little things at the expense of the weightier things. Now, I do understand there are weightier things in Christian doctrine. But even the things that we don't consider as weighty, we ought to do, for they give testimony to the Lordship of Christ. So understanding there is weightier things, but we got to be careful when we say it's non-essential. There is not a word in here that's non-essential. And what doesn't at first look like weightier things might be very weighty. You say, well, the head covering, that's not weighty at all. Well, it certainly doesn't save you. Take it off and it doesn't really change your character. Put it on men and it doesn't change your character. But it has to do with the headship of Christ and the glory of God. Is headship and glory weighty issues? Well, I'll let you think that through. We get into issues like that. Now, when it comes, brother, as you mentioned in 1 Corinthians 1:10, that we're all to speak the same thing in the same judgment, the only way that can happen is by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot look to men. I can't look at what works. I can't look at tradition, how we do it. I must have an honest heart and look at the authority of the Lord and search the Scriptures. Where we've seen that happen, we've seen an amazing amount, not only of unity, but as I travel around, unanimity. I'll say, why do you do it that way like we do it? Well, it's because the Lord says so. Now, there are times, because of lack of understanding, because of whatever, there will be times there will be still some disagreement if we speak honestly. God has given a structure in the Scripture how to solve that. And I don't want to use the word liberty, but where there's disagreement, there is something called elders, and we are to submit to them. And they do give an account to the Lord. And even though we can't quite see it that way, they do the best from the Word of God. We should find ourselves submitting. And we don't have to account for that. They'll have to account for that decision. And that makes order. And I would suggest that. Mark, do you have anything further to say on that, brother? No? Obey them that have the rule over you. You see, if there's nobody to submit to, then every man will do that which is in his own eyes. But elders have to be honest as well as people to seek the Lord's will. We'll say more about that this afternoon. And great unanimity can be reached. But when there is some differences of practical application, there must be somebody submitted to. And that would be the shepherds that we are to submit to them as they submit unto the Lord. Anybody else? Brother Carl.
Just,
enough time just to follow the Lord.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. Amen, brother. Other things that flow out of obeying the Lord. There's a dynamic to it. Two thoughts I'm going to say in closing, and as the time goes here, ask somebody to close in prayer. Back to Brother Mark's comment on in 1 Corinthians, the dynamic is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned elders, and that's a legitimate concept. But in Corinthians, you know how many times the word elders appears? None. It's not to mean elders are wrong. It does mean it's the lordship of Christ is overriding. And it's not even saying look to the elders here, but look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the solution for the assembly here. Now, God has ordained elders, and we are told in Hebrews 13 to obey or submit ourselves unto such. And that will take care of these practical skirmishes if it's done right. On another thing, we were talking about what God allows and how we react. I was just reminded yesterday through an incident. I won't give you the details. But we speak of those who are sincere but don't understand. We got to leave them with the Lord, but we have to do what God shows us. We have to be honest to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when they rebuilt the temple, Solomon's temple was destroyed, and after 70 plus years, they came back, eventually relaid the foundation of the temple in Ezra 3. And here's this foundation. Jerusalem had been desolate by that time for over 70 years. And here there was no house of God. Some of the people of God are back. And for the first time in over 70 years, the house of God is going back up. At this point, the foundation was laid. There was mixed reaction that day at that foundation. It was a smaller foundation, and that caused a problem. The older generation who remembered the glory of Solomon's day, what did they do? They cried. It cried so loud it made a great noise. The younger generation, who had nothing to measure it by, saw that for the first time they were going to have a house of God. They got excited. They shouted. You had a generation gap. Two points of reference. One, that's all they ever saw, and God was allowing it. He said, don't despise the day of small things. The other was going back to the ideal. One cried, and one was excited. There are those that have been in denominational backgrounds, false churches. They come into some of these fellowship centers, and it's light to them. It is wonderful. It's day and night to them, and they are excited. I'm going to have to leave it there. But as a preacher, if I have a chance to give truth, I will. But yet when we see the Word of God in the way it should be, for us to go to that from what we have in the assembly with the glorious liberty He's called us unto would be a step back, not a step forward. And so it all depends where you're coming from. They had a measurement of what it should be, and it was a heartbreaking thing. The other generation did not have that measurement. It was an exciting thing. And God really didn't condemn that. So we just got to be very careful, but it really comes down to what the Lord tells me to do. Oh, having said that, maybe somebody... yes, Brother Jeff. That's right.
We accept them as believers in Christ, but as far as our obedience to the Lord,
that's right.
We've got to keep us a tight circle.
Amen.
Keep a tight circle as far as obedience to His Word is to the degree of life we've been given.
Amen. I like it. Yeah. I don't have to imitate them, and I shouldn't imitate them. I don't have to, but I can do it God's way, and I can also preach the Word and instruct. But I don't have to imitate them. I can still accept them without imitating them. And hold up a standard that maybe someday they can see. Praise the Lord, brother. Well, thank you for the time. We'll turn it over for prayer and whatever happens before lunch, and thank you.